I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between, and I do mean everything. Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to you frequenters, and if you're just joining us for the first time, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. I am just one of your fearless leaders, one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you ready to make the magic happen tonight?
Why the fuck did I say I would start going to a gym? That's tiring. I'm very tired. I'm ditching the Gatorade tonight. I'm back to whiskey. I thought, what the fuck? I showed people in our Patreon group today, I've been editing Old Time Dancing for the last 2 days straight. This great one-man band. His name is Len, and he plays keyboards and accordion at the same time while singing. I don't even think Mark could handle that. And he plays all your favorite country standards, but holy God, am I ready for some Van Halen tonight.
You're saying you don't want the one-man band. You're ready for some Van Halen, but
hey,
here's my question. Yeah. Oh, I commend you, and I absolutely will reiterate. No, I can't do that. I can't do any of that. So kudos to Len, the one man band. But here's my question to you: since you're not in the mood for a one man band anymore, you want some Van Halen. What happens when we spin a song where it's nothing but Eddie Van Halen? That's a one man band, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah. No, that's very true. I don't think he's going to be playing "Who Stole My Kishka," though, which is one of the polkas that I edited today.
Oh my God. Can you, if I don't know if it exists, it probably does not, but how funny would that be? Van Halen polka. If there is Van Halen polka, somebody please let us know. There's gotta be. There's no chance that Eddie or Alex dabbled in polka during their musical journey. If they did, awesome. I want to hear it, but let's just assume they didn't. There's still gotta be some polka covered Van Halen out. Like, there's got to be something out there, so please let us know, dear listeners. A not so clean segue from that is something Corey just mentioned. our Patreon. We have a Patreon and it is live. We are now a part of the Patreon community. You guys said you wanted more from us. You want to hear us ramble more about a band and the like. Even though we're not experts, we're simple, humble fans. You want to hear more from it? We heard you and you got it. So now we have a Patreon. So please check out the Patreon and the podcast will rock. We have some amazing tiers for you guys. I think some that many of you will find pretty, I would say, well within your budget and awesomely fun. What would you say, Corey? Any way we can tempt them to come on over to the dark side of Patreon if they haven't already?
I tell you what, just seek out our friends like Per Loneker and Scott Monroe and Kevin Brown, who all signed up for the Patreon. Kevin, who's lurking as we are recording this here tonight, he's watching along. That's one of the perks. So he's going to get to know the Wheels selection and hear the song before anybody on Friday. Hey, Kev, he said it was a no-brainer. And so let's all be more like Kevin. Kevin is a Tom Petty fan. He's a Queen fan. He loves craft beer. They don't get any better than Kevin.
No, none whatsoever. So be like Kevin. We like Kevin. Join the Patreon and let us know what you want us to do, what you want us to talk about, and what you want us to spin. That's right. You get on Patreon, there's more than just one wheel. We'll have so many wheels, but you got to let us know and you got to sign up for it. You'll be ahead of the curve if you do that, just like Kevin. And speaking of good people that we really appreciate and we enjoy having them around, we enjoy having our guests around tonight. A very special guest, not a first timer. He's coming back to the show, not to talk about Judas Priest this time, but he's going to talk about some more Van Halen. We love that. Please welcome back to the show, George Celano. George, Hey. Welcome back, dude.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on once again. I love your show and I'm listening weekly as usual. You guys are always doing a great job. And the fact that I get to be a part of it once again, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm ready to chill with a couple cool cats, talk about some Van Halen. And hey, where do we go from here? Oh, you know, I think I know.
Yeah, I think Corey, I think you know too, yes.
Corey, would you be so kind as to click that link I sent?
Oh, there's a link.
How to kill all mosquitoes in the area. And
that's right, how to kill all mosquitoes.
I mean, it's very important to kill mosquitoes.
It opened up in the Podcast for Rocka YouTube mosquitoes. Page, not my own.
Look, I live in the South, okay? Mosquitoes are no joke over here when it gets hot. So yeah, let's kill the hell out of those mosquitoes.
All right, are you ready?
Maybe
a special from our friend George. Here we go. Let's move it over here so that I wonder if I can get it so Kevin can see. Singing, yay.
Nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I've seen the toughest around. And I know, baby, just how you feel.
This is what I've been editing all day.
You gotta roll with the punches and get what's real.
Is this any better?
Jimmy's standing here, I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the worst that you see. Can't you see what I mean? Might as well jump.
Jump!
Might as well jump. But go ahead and jump.
Jump!
Go ahead and jump.
Go ahead and jump.
Said that, baby, how you been?
Yodeling was great.
You say you don't know, but you will know until you begin.
So Kansas. Oh my God, I'm having flashbacks to my whole week here.
Ask and you shall receive, that's for sure. I wanted Van Halen polka, that's what I got.
Kevin commented he loves how happy George is. So do I. Here we go.
Might as well jump. Go ahead and jump.
I love the Muppets on the shelf behind her. Like, Bert was there.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, sax solo.
Ooh, sax.
Yes, accordion.
You were waiting for it. You were waiting the whole song to hear some accordion, Corey.
All right.
Wow.
Oh man.
That that is just fantastic. And I loved that. Wasn't expecting let's see, the Heimatdash Damisch. Heimatdamisch, I believe is how you pronounce that.
That sounds like a good guess to me.
Yep.
Didn't expect Jeff Tate to come in there with vocals, but you know, hey, what are you gonna do? That's just fantastic.
My goodness. Thank you, George, for bringing that to us. Yes.
Yes.
You didn't reference
that was
Jeff
so fast.
Tate just because I'm wearing a Queensryche shirt right now, did you? Or you didn't even see that.
I didn't even see it.
Synced up anyway.
We are. Homeboy was on the video was bald and he sounded like Jeff Tate. So I just assumed that was Jeff Tate. So I was like, well, that's kind of a weird twist to this, to Van Halen polka, but I'm not mad at it. That was great stuff. Thank you so much, George, for sharing that.
You said it had to be. It didn't take long for YouTube to deliver the goods.
Exactly. And you get that one. No charge for that. That's just free, good quality entertainment, and we appreciate it. So how do we even where do we go from there at this point? Corey, you got any Van Halen newsworthy, other than Van Halen polka, of course, anything else going on that you want to share with the class?
You know what? I've been at the gym and working all day, so I haven't really had a chance to look, to be honest with you. I know
well,
that
it's
they
cool.
had a, all on the Van Halen news desk. One of the things I haven't got to yet, but there's a big interview with Michael Anthony from Trunk Nation. It's posted there in its entirety. There's also an article on the Kinks. Mick Avery talks Van Halen's cover of You Really Got Me. That'd be really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
His comments. And you can watch Van Halen's Dreams at the Whiskey A Go-Go from 93, upscaled version, all that and more. And again, I think I mentioned it last day, but Gary Cherone did a big interview with Jeremy White. And you can catch the 22 minutes he talked about Van Halen all on the Van Halen News Desk.
And do all that. Check out Van Halen News Desk. You know, that's where we get most of our current events in terms of Van Halen from those guys. And we're very appreciative about what they do over there. And be sure to show some support. How about that? Hopefully in that Gary interview, he doesn't mention a podcast that he believes talks shit about him, because we try not to, and we always apologize.
Hey,
even if we do.
Don't talk about the bogus Otis boys like that. Come on.
No, I would never.
Yeah,
I
they're nice never. Guys.
Yeah,
they are nice guys. We like those guys. We'll have them on the show again at some point.
Well, and I didn't have a chance to talk to you, Mark, but they're planning a little three-way action with us and the DLR guys.
Hey-o.
Maybe another collaboration in the future with those guys.
Ooh. Well, then stay tuned, listeners. That might just be in the not too distant future.
Yes.
But now, all right. So, as Corey said, tune into Van Halen News Desk if you want to check out what's going on in current events of Van Halen. So for now, let's move on over to the Rockin' Poll and read out some tweets. So things are going to be done a little bit differently this time. You guys, you know, we try to accommodate for all the tweets. However, you guys tweet a lot, so we had to sort of consolidate. And if you want your tweets for sure read on the show, then join the Patreon. We got a Patreon tier for that. And you will absolutely, If you join the tier and look it up, it'll make sure you get a guaranteed spot, and we will guarantee that we will read out your tweets. So that being said, let's go ahead and go there. Last week, we discussed Can't Get This Stuff No More from the Best of Van Halen, Volume 1, an album very near and dear to my heart, personally. Not everyone shared that sentiment, but I would say that the voting ratio went probably as well as expected. What we have is an 82.7% What Dreams Are Made Of, with a 17.3% Dream Is Over. So, you know, most people pretty keen, based on the voting, pretty keen on this song. Any big shocker to you there, Corey?
Maybe a little. I think initially I always thought this was kind of the ugly stepsister to Miwai's Magic. So I was maybe a little bit surprised at how much love it got. But I dug the song, so I was pretty happy to see almost 83% What Dreams Are Made Of. But like you said, a couple of vocal dissenters, and they had good points too. Certainly not my favorite Van Halen track from that album. It's a greatest hit, so obviously I enjoy most of them, but I've certainly heard worse, and we certainly got worse on the Best of Both Worlds compilation.
Oh, ain't that the truth. Let's see, George, while I have you here, man, I'll just ask you straight up, do you have any thoughts on Can't Get This Stuff No More? Did you vote, or do you want to elaborate?
Now I give it a thumbs up. It's not like a super strong thumbs up. It's not in my top Van Halen tracks category. It's got a chill groove to it, and the solo really cooks. I think the ending part really kind of drags a little bit, and they could have maybe chopped some of that, but overall, like, it's towards the positive. It's a thumbs up for me.
That sounds about right. That's kind of where I remember being when we discussed the track, and I might have a little bit more of the nostalgia of it because of it being on this particular album, and that was my gateway into more Van Halen-ness. So yeah, I totally understand that. All right, so then let's go over to what everybody else was saying. We're gonna start with our buddy and our fellow sort of honorary Podcast Will Rock panelist, as well as a new patron. So he absolutely gets to have his manifesto of tweets read on the show from our dear friend Scott Monroe. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Scott. I'm saying that now just in case this manifesto leaves me irritated. But no, I'm just kidding. But he did write a lot, so let's get to it. And he even prefaced it: warning, manifesto inbound. So here we go. The upshot is this track is hashtag What Dreams Are Made Of for me, mainly because of the back half with Eddie's killer solo and David Lee Roth's more energetic final chorus and more cowbell. Ha! You knew somebody was going to bring up the cowbell. I knew it because it just had me laughing. He goes on to say, much like Mark and Brett, the Best Of album got tons of repeat listens in my youth. And like Mark, that's me, I had similar feelings to this track. I always felt it started too slow and was the weakest of the three new songs. I'd usually skip it in favor of the other two. Also, like Mark, I'm not as harsh on it now that I'm older. The intro is serene as Eddie noodles towards the main riff, and when it does kick into high gear, yowza, what a groove. He actually did write yowza, and I appreciate that. I don't mind David Lee Roth's lower register vocals, though. I prefer them on Miwai's Magic. That said, it's fine, and the lyrics are clever and well-crafted. Having the Mikey harmonies louder in the chorus would have really elevated it and contrasted nicely with David's deep delivery, though. 1,000% agree with that. The talk box section is where my ears really perk up. It's a cool, new, and yet retro sound for them, and I dig it. And the dirty rhythm underneath it all by Alex and Mikey comes to the forefront. So good. Here's where David Lee Roth ramps up, too. As the solo ends, we get a classic woo that harkens back to youthful high energy at David as he goes higher and more intense on the final chorus. Everything going on here was worth the wait. I, too, could do without most of the minute-long meandering outro, but the cowbell is indeed great. I'm here for it. I've got a fever, and the only prescription is more Alex Van Halen. Amen. Truly, you can't get this stuff no more. Hashtag what dreams are made of yet again. Thank you for that, Scott. That's good. I commend you because you do exactly what we ask for on this show when we put up these polls. Usually we ask people if they're not so hot on a particular track, at least tell us why. Don't tweet us with this song sucks. And then that's it. Like, okay, that's it. That's all you got. Cool. Scott, on the other hand, is this song is great. And I'll tell you why in 7 tweets. But that's good. I like a good analysis. So yes, and there you are.
I found myself agreeing with every point except one. I wasn't a big fan of the talk box. That's about the only thing I kind of wavered from Scott on. Otherwise, everything else I totally agreed on. But our next tweet, I figure we'll hop back and forth here. I'm going to steal this bit from Seaside Pod Review. Both hosts now read the tweet. So I'm stealing something from you, Kevin, and I'm reading your tweet as I do it. This is from our good friend Kevin Brown, who says, "Not for me. Very, very average all the way through, other than Al's drums." And I do love Al's drums on that track. Also, should I have been called Up for Breakfast Part 1? Ouch.
Ooh.
Because, quote, steak and potatoes, a feather in a bucket, I slice at a time like a pizza pie, eesh. Hashtag this dreamer's over. So he's not a fan of the lyrics. I kind of was. I love David Lee Roth metaphors for food and the palm trees. I think we settled on that it was he was talking about. But there's a dissenting vote. He found it very average, and you know, I can see his point, even if I don't quite agree with it, but there's a thumbs down from Mr. Kevin Brown.
Wow.
And you can do worse with food metaphors. I mean, the song Cherry Pie is out there.
Yeah.
That one's so bad. And she licked the beater. Amen.
Even the vocalist of Warrant to this day hates the fact that he wrote that song because he knows it's awful. He knows it's bad.
Well, the label said we don't have a single, so he took 15 minutes and wrote Cherry Pie, and it became their single.
And that is what they are now forever known for writing. And I mean, that's probably not the greatest legacy you want to leave behind in a band like that. But what do you do, right? What do you do?
Uncle Tom's Cabin is still a banger track, though.
That one's good. But
there you go.
Let's talk about a band that has way more bangers, Van Halen.
Yes, sir.
What other comments you got?
Well, going over to our friends, Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, also patrons. Dave had a lot to prove when they did the two songs for the reunion that didn't happen of the greatest hits package. He worked his butt off, and it shows. Great song, great work put in by everyone. The quality of this song and Me Wise Magic was commiserate with the disappointment. Sorry, there were two tweets. Commiserate with the disappointment the reunion didn't actually happen at that time. Look how good this could have been, we all thought. All too bad. Dave sounded much better here. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, Dave did have a lot to prove when the reunion didn't happen, right? This is supposed to be the big triumphant return of Van Halen, right? And then he went up on stage at the MTV Video Music Awards and made an ass of himself. So, but it kind of proved that, you know, that old magic was still there. I know Kevin disagrees, but Me Wise Magic, to me, was, you know, a classic, newer sounding Van Halen sound that still harkened back to Women and Children First, you know, one of their harder albums, right? So, he did have a lot to prove, and they largely succeeded. And then, of course, we went from that to the 04 tour with Sammy, and things kind of fell off the tracks from there.
Fell off the deep end, yeah. It's just the phrase that stays with me there is Dave had a lot to prove, and it's really hilarious. It's hilarious to think about that because it's David Lee Roth.
About his career at that time. Right?
Yeah, like around that time. Very true.
Yeah,
it's just on the surface, hearing that statement is like, Dave, what in the world did Dave have to prove? And then you have to like, no. In context, you have to think about this and this and this and like, yeah, okay. But like on the surface, Dave had a lot to prove. It was like, wow, what a statement.
His popularity was waning at that time, right? Like a little ain't enough. I don't think sold. It certainly didn't sell like Skyscraper or Eat 'Em and Smile did. So
no. So there it is. And I'll let's see, just a couple more here, just because I thought it was funny. This one especially, mainly because I get a shout out from Michael Green, our buddy Michael Green, the Van Halen 3 enthusiast, says, "Yeah, I dig it, but how did Mark pick this over Miwise Magic? I'll never understand. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Hashtag Van Halen 3 for life. Hashtag apologies to Gary." There's a lot about me, Michael, you will probably never understand, just like I will never understand your deep, devoted love to the album Van Halen 3. Kudos to you. More props, whatever makes you, whatever makes you happy. But oy vey, that is my only retort to that.
I'm glad you read his, because I was going to read out our good buddy Rava Flav.
Yeah,
said Eddie's lead post voice box is great. I like the obscure lyrics and Dave's delivery. Great backing vocals, and Alex is spot on all the way through. You can easily disregard my thoughts because I might be the only one that actually likes the extended outro. So that was one vote for the over a minute long extended outro. So.
Well, you know, again, much like Michael Green, whatever makes you happy. If that long outro makes you happy, then hey, good on you. Thought it went a little bit long for us. I'll read one more here from Jeff Brewer. He says, like the guitar work, good example of Ed's ability to play interesting guitar lines. Not a fan of Eddie Van Halen playing talk box or wah. I prefer his sound without those gimmicks. Dave's okay here. And the cat made me lose my spot. Dave's okay here. I like this better than Miwise Magic, learning to see it's about time and up for breakfast. So, okay. Well, you know, that I'll give you that. I'll give you those.
Oh, I got it. We've pissed off Kevin Brown. He says, uh-oh, I can't believe you stole part of our format, you son of a bitch. apologies to Kevin.
Hashtag apologies to Kevin. There's the new shirt.
Yeah, we did steal the portion of the show where we go back and forth reading tweets. Everything else from Kevin's show, he's stolen from us. So I just needed to point that out real quick.
So, hey, look, podcasting is just a cyclical series of us all stealing from each other because I stole y'all's format for how you play the songs. So,
hey, and we stole all of our stuff from Pot of Thunder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
We all owe a little to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best artists steal.
I was still shocked when Kevin said, can we use your format? I'm like, it's not my format. We stole it from Pot of Thunder. So you're just re-stealing their format. We just added a wheel. So
we added a wheel. Yeah. So
little does Kevin know, we're going to start doing Queen songs next week. So.
Surprise everybody. Lastly, I'll read this one from Van Halen Lyrics.
Yes.
Says, it's what dreams are made of because you literally can't get this stuff no more. Sad face emoji. Bonus, it's what dreams were made of when we learned David Lee Roth refused, or I'm sorry, when we learned David Lee Roth returned to record new songs with Van Halen. Sadly, we can't get that stuff no more. That dream is over. Crying face emoji. And yeah, you're right. But honestly, though, at this point, would you really want to? Like, would you want to? Because, I mean, I know because Dave is off doing his own thing, trying to, I guess, let's say, revitalize old Van Halen tunes and kind of re-record them, bring a new energy to it. And
we don't frankly, know what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah, frankly, that energy is not working for me. So I ask you, is it sad that we can't get that stuff no more? I don't know. I'm inclined to think not really, but in terms of having Eddie around, yes, very sad. So there you go. There's some tweets from the poll last week. Thank you everyone for submitting them. And if you, like I said, if you really want to get your tweet for sure read on the show, go over to our Patreon, subscribe, become one of the tier members, and you'll get that and all sorts of goodies. We're going to give you as much goodies as you want within our capabilities. So
that's allowed by law, and more coming. We're talking about maybe resurrecting a couple of old shows that Mark and I did and making them Patreon exclusives. And we got a whole bunch of good stuff maybe in the pipeline. So get in on the ground floor. There might even be some Kevin Brown designed exclusive Patreon merch.
Ooh, there you go. So people love if you and Thank you for that. If you haven't checked out our merch store or haven't checked it out in a while, you should really get on over there to at podcastwillrock.com. We have it on there. It's on our TeePublic store. Check out all that merch. Our friend Kevin Brown has done some incredible designs for us. Absolutely. And they are hilarious and they are awesome and very much sort of you had to be there or you had to listen to it. Very, very inside joke base. So if you listen to the show and you're wearing our shirts, only you'll know. Like you'll know, and everyone else will be like, "What's that all about?" And all you got to do is tell them, check out, and the podcast will rock.
Right, and Extreme and Mammoth are touring, right? So wear your podcast will rock gear on tour, so that Extreme fans and Mammoth fans could go, "What the fuck is that? That sounds terrible."
Everyone, wear your Apologies to Gary shirts, please, because he eventually. Shows, yes. Yeah, he'll see them and he'll go, "What the hell is that?" And he's like, "Oh, you don't know?" and then either
support.
Yeah. I mean, that or all hell will break loose after that. Either way, I'm kind of here for it because I just want to know. I just want to know what happened.
Oh, my dream is to get Gary Sharon to record. You're listening to and the podcast will rock for some reason. These guys are a bunch of dickheads. And then we segue into "Hello, baby" in the intro of the show.
Is he on Cameo? If he's not, someone tell him to get a Cameo. We can make that happen. Good stuff. All right. Moving forward, you guys, it's time to get into the meat of the show, why we all come here. But before we spin that wheel, we do our second favorite thing, and that is, say it with me, take a shot, manifestations. That's right. We manifest the song that we want to hear tonight. So, George, hey, you're our guest tonight. You've returned. You've been aching. You've been waiting. You've been chomping at the bits. Yep. I just assume to talk about some Van Halen. So, what Van Halen track, or maybe a Van Halen era, do you want to manifest for tonight's show?
I don't know. We're not going to let them pussy out like they do on Seaside Pod Review. You got to name a track.
Ah,
Kevin does that with Randy all the time. Just pick
you
an
think
era.
I can't do it?
Pick an album.
You think
George
I can't name a track?
George,
name five songs. Okay, fine.
Name five songs. That'll be the next shirt. Name five songs.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess my manifest destiny tonight is to get a Sammy track.
All right.
And we know that I fell victim to the Deep Dive Podcaster's curse and spun a Van Halen 3 on my first time here.
Yeah, you did.
And I was on a live show when we did "I'm the One." So I got a Dave, I got a Gary, I got to complete the trifecta. And if we somehow spin another Van Halen 3 song tonight, then I got to warn you, I may or may not get a phone call for a family emergency and find out that some relative I don't know passed away.
I understand that.
That's the only editing we'll do is that we had George at the beginning of the show and then all of a sudden we didn't. If we spin Van Halen 3. Yeah. We won't even address it too. We won't be like, George was with us, but he's gone. No, we'll just carry on with the show. Like, yep. It's like, was he ever there?
He
like,
I don't know. Yeah. Van Halen 3 curse. Oh, you said I got to name a track. Well, yep. I want to see Emmy. Let's do something fun. Let's do Get Up.
Oh, good one.
That's a fun one. Yes.
5150. I'm down for it. Yes.
Absolutely. Now, you are.
We should mention we have a manifestations channel on our Patreon Discord. So I asked the patrons, right, what do they want to hear? Kevin Brown this weekend. And first of all, what the fuck took you so long, Kevin? He finally picked up on vinyl a copy of Rocks by Aerosmith and Women and Children First. So welcome to the fold, brother. And what took you so long? Those are two musts when you're starting any vinyl collection. Absolute classic albums front to back, but he wants to hear a little Women and Children First. How about a little Cradle Rocking is what he wants to hear. So
when I first read that, I was thinking he was talking about "And the Cradle Will Rock," and I was like or he is talking about
it. He is talking about that
rock, but
what do you think he was talking about?
That's my mistake. I had thought we had already spun that. That was the problem. I was going to be like, "You dumb bastard, we've already done." And but then I realized, like, wait, no, we haven't.
It's because you hear it every week. Song. It's part of the intro. Yeah. No, that's
I mean, it's our namesake, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So no, he's not a dumb bastard. I'm a dumb bastard because I thought we spun it. No, that's a great manifestation.
It is. Scott Monroe had a good one, too. He wants to hear a Sammy track. How about "When It's Love"?
When It's Love. If there was ever just a primo Sammy ballad. That's the one. Would not be mad about it, as you guys probably would have guessed. So there you are. All right. Well, Corey, your turn. What you're in the mood for some Van Halen, as long as it's not a one man bander. What do you want to hear tonight?
Well, you know what? Because George is here, and we all love George, and he's trying to manifest a Sammy track. I'm also going to manifest a Sammy track, and I want something a little dirty groove to it. I want a little Black and Blue from OU812.
Black and Blue.
That's what I'd love to hear tonight.
Well, you're all wrong because we are – well, you're half wrong. You're all half wrong because we are – I believe it in my bones. We are going to spin a Sammy track. However, it's not going to be any one of those. We're spinning Pound Cake tonight. That's what we're spinning.
You think
so? You know why? Because that's what I really want to hear. That's why. It probably won't happen, but it's fun to imagine I have such power, and I'm calling my shot. Calling it. It happened for Corey three times. Surely by the end of this show, I'll have one.
You're running out of opportunities for Van Halen manifestations. We have 49 songs left on the wheel, and we've been trying to get Pound Cake for a while.
We have, yeah. Well, we've been, to be fair, we've been trying to get a track from the Fuck album, another track from the Fuck album for a while, and it's just, it has not been in the cards, but I don't know. I'm feeling, I feel something special in the air. So I think we're in for something good. I definitely think we're in for a Sammy track. Could be either one of ours or it could be none of them, but I think Sammy is coming up. So with that being said, George is ready. He's got his manifestation powers going strong. I know Corey is. So if Sammy's in the back and he's ready to go, what do you say we spin that wheel?
And we are going to come up to, oh, it's a Dave track, but it's a gooder.
Oh,
how about Everybody Wants Some from Women and Children?
I want some. Let's do it.
All right, Kevin, it's from Women and Children, my friend. You should be pretty happy with that.
I know I am. So once again, my manifestation powers are weak, and it wasn't even close. But am I mad about that? Certainly not. I think this one's going to give us a lot to talk about and discuss. I think we're in for something interesting with this one. I don't want to show my hand too early. But any first initial thoughts from you gentlemen before we get started without tipping your hand?
Well, I think that ship sailed for me because I feel like I sounded pretty excited when Everybody Wants Some spun on the wheel. So, hey, look,
fair enough.
It's too late for me to not tip my hands.
Well, okay. Well, maybe you've tipped your hand a little bit, but you could always change your mind the further we go along and the further we analyze it. You know, we'll give you some extra things to think about. So, Corey, any opening statements before we kick this track off?
I tell you, my first, and I had to go back and double check because I thought maybe I was just too old and I was forgetting. But, Mark, you ever see a little movie from 1985 called Better Off Dead?
Oh, have I?
John Cusack?
Yes, indeed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there a claymation part of that movie where like a hamburger or a cheeseburger is singing this song?
There is, just like there is a crazy paperboy demanding his $2.
That's right.
Yes, it's a glorious film. It's a gloriously weird film, but it has got all the 80s goodness that you love and adore. And if you're old enough and remember it, go check that out. And yes, nice appearance of the track. Everybody Wants Some.
That's right. We're going to officially count this as a half manifestation for Kevin Brown, too, because he got the right album. And he just sent me a picture. He still has Women and Children on his turntable right now. He's been listening to it all weekend. So good job, Kev. And
yeah.
Good call, too, because this is an absolute classic from Van Halen. Here's a couple of little nerdy things, courtesy of our friend C.J. Chilvers and the Van Halen Encyclopedia. But the opening guitar effect was the same as in Atomic Punk, but instead of Eddie rubbing against all the strings, he rubbed just the low E. Now, that sounds like a Stormy Daniels Trump kind of thing. So maybe, Mark, you're a guitar player. You can kind of help me out with that. What does that mean?
Low E, that's just the top string of the guitar, the thick one. So he was rubbing that thick one.
I did not pay Stormy Daniels to rub my low E. That's just made up by Sleepy Joe Biden.
Oh, bitch, you thought. But that, I digress. I could go on and on about that whole thing. But yeah. Well, that's interesting. That doesn't shock me based on how it sounds. This intro. Yeah, but a lot of this is a very, speaking of long intros and outros, this one's a pretty long intro for this song. But it's a buildup. It's like this grand buildup. It's a little different than you might expect. The first time I heard this, I wasn't sure where the song was gonna go, because it gives you sort of this this feel of the jungle, this intro, and you feel like, oh, okay, are we doing a Welcome to the Jungle sort of thing here? Is this their Guns N' Roses moment? And then you realize, like, no, not really, not even close. It's just something fun and something animalistic. But that's, and there it is right there. It's giving you the sounds of the jungle, because, like, the animals are here and they want some. Everybody wants some.
All right, you guys ready to hear a little Everybody Wants Some from Women and Children First?
You know it.
Let's do it.
Great monkey. Just rubbing that E, just rubbing it.
You know, before we get too deep into it, according to CJ Chilvers, again, Van Halen Encyclopedia, the drum vocal interlude was completely ad-lib.
Really?
Yeah. So Dave did write on the lyric sheet, monkey sounds. Make sure you lead off with monkey sounds.
It's like pretend you're some primates in the jungle during this part. It's like, no, just, I don't know, do what you want.
And
Tarzan, yeah, of course, is like, I mean, look, Dave, he looks like a guy who would fancy himself a Tarzan.
I tell you, this album was real. Sorry, go ahead, George.
I can hear why you compared this to Welcome in the Jungle. You got a very tribal-ish beat and the whole vibe. It's very wild feeling right off the bat.
Yeah. Yes. Animalistic.
But I tell you, Kevin Brown wanted And the Cradle Will Rock for his manifestation. This was the B-side to that A-side. Mm-hmm. So way back in the day, if you bought the A-side And the Cradle Will Rock, this was the B-side to that. So I'll give him three quarters of a manifestation now. For
yeah, there you go. You get kind of credit, sort of.
Yeah.
It's very important that when you are willing to, when you're ready to get down, when you're in the mood and you're in a public place, it's important to note that you're in a public place. So maybe it's not wise to just have it out right there, just in a public setting, like, you know, a subway train when it's full of people, especially if the conductor's looking at you. So yeah. I applaud Dave for pointing that out. It's like, look, the conductor's like, don't do it. You're wasting your time. Don't do that here.
But why are they wasting
everybody
their time,
wants
though?
Some.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we don't know that yet. I just assume that you're wasting your time because, like, maybe she's just not that into you. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
the conductor's like, come on, dude, she's way out of your league.
Yeah, like, and you know, it's sad if the conductor of the subway is noticing, like, bro,
if you guys want to fuck, that's fine. It happens on the subway all the time, but this chick, way out of your league. You're wasting your time.
Yeah, it's like, make sure it's consensual, and I don't think it is on her part, so just move on. You just got to move on, bro.
It goes so against what you would expect David Lee Roth to tell you. You can't get romantic on a subway line. When do you ever hear Dave discouraging you from getting romantic? Ever.
Exactly. Dave's asexual. He'll fuck anything. Mud, chickens, anything. Like, whatever comes his way.
Subway I love line, that. I love how he wants to use the term get romantic. It's like, there's nothing romantic about what you're trying to do. Just call it what it is. You were just making animal, like, monkey sounds. We know what this is.
But don't everybody call it romantic. Wants some, Mark. Yeah, everybody wants
some. Well, I want some, too. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, everybody needs some, and I get it. But time and a place.
Is
time
that and a place. Line? But, and, baby, everybody wants some. Come on, I want some, too. Baby, how about you?
How about you? And she's just like, not today, not with you.
Dave's a little desperate in this song. I don't know if I like it.
He's just like, he's in a mood.
I've rode a lot of New York City subways. There's no possible amount of flowers, candles, and wine that could ever make a subway romantic.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
we got nothing like that up here, but I'll take your word for it. I've seen movies.
I've seen movies enough to know. It's like, ooh, yeah. I mean, I've ridden the subway in New York once, and there's nothing romantic about it.
I get this. All right, let's keep going. Baby, how are you? Yeah, but before I read lyrics, I didn't know what the hell he said there, but it's, I took a mobile light for a moonbeam, and it's like, what?
Exactly this. I'm so glad you said it first, because, like, I was literally about to say that, but also,
I took a mobile light and looking for a moonbeam. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
First of all, like, why?
Is that a flashlight? What?
I'm assuming so. He took a flashlight looking for a moonbeam?
I don't know, but two things point out. Yeah, I never knew what he was saying right here. So one, now that I'm looking at the lyrics, I don't know if it's better that I know. And two, why is he doing a Randy Newman impression on this part? That's what I want to know, because it's not helping.
I hate when he breaks into short people in the next verse too. It's just
impression and everything. It's weird. Yeah. Like, Dave made some weird choices on this album.
He was like, yeah, we need some fucking monkey sounds, some Tarzan yells, and some Randy Newman. That's what the kids want to hear.
It's like, that's what the kids want. Randy Newman.
Yeah, it's 1980. God damn it. It's a new era.
He's hip. I don't know. Actually, was Randy Newman hip in 1980?
Was he ever hip? I don't know. Jesus. He writes for Pixar now.
I mean, he wrote and Major League. I mean, he wrote some he wrote some good songs for some good movies. So, I mean, you know, there's that. But I don't know if everybody wants some is the time and place you want to bust out Randy Newman.
Looking for a mood, beep.
Everybody wants some. I want some too.
I want some too.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
Of course you do, Randy.
Oh,
but
we gotta get back to the song now. All I hear is Randy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm depressed.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of clowning on the lyrics, but I guess at some point we might as well talk about the music, because what I'm hearing is pretty smoking. And this song's great because that build up, you get the guitars slowly coming in with Eddie playing those licks, and they're teasing you. And this intro is awesome because it's just priming you. It's getting you ready for that fast riff to come in once you're past the 1 minute mark. And then it's like a Panama-esque rocker. And then the song has such a great rise and fall, because after you get through that first chorus, and the song goes back down a little bit. So you're getting sort of, how do I say it? It's just, it's dynamic not
that
static
kids
throughout.
Is what thank you. That's exactly the word. Like, that kids is called dynamics, and that's what you want in a good rock song.
Amen.
Yeah, you spend a lot of dollars in the jet stream.
before we get into the guitar solo, I just want to point out how great the production on these albums is. Like Ted Templeman.
Yes.
What a producer. And I was listening to some old Pot of Thunders, and they were spinning songs from like the first couple of Kiss albums, and they sound like fucking garbage. Like, I don't know what the hell the production team is thinking on those records, because they just sound terrible. But here we go, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and these things sound immaculate.
It helps when you have...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I guess it helps when you have a producer in the studio that really understands the sound of the band that they're recording. I would assume for this album, Ted probably had a lot of input, because he just knew how to bring out Van Halen's sound to the fullest, in my opinion anyway. Like, every time we hear good mixing and good production quality in a Van Halen record, most of the time, correct me if I'm wrong, Templeman's behind it.
9 times out of 10, yeah. The only other one that we kind of single out is Balance, Bruce Franklin.
Right. Yeah. Which isn't bad, but I mean, like, I don't know. There's something about the Templeman method just worked. But go ahead, George.
And you can't beat the bass tone on this album.
Yes.
It all sounds great.
And that's one thing. Kevin stopped commenting. I wonder if he had a stroke or if he fell asleep. But listening to this on vinyl, Kevin, I bet you can really pick out that bass tone. Fan-fucking-tastic on vinyl.
Good low end. Good the rhythm section in general. Like, this is a... I'll talk about the music for a second. This is a heavy Van Halen song. Like, Van Halen's always been a hard rock band, but as we all know, they have their ballads, they have their kind of slower, sort of melancholy type songs, you know, they got dynamics, you know, they're a versatile band. But first and foremost, they are rock and roll, and a hard rock and roll, and this, to me anyway, is up there amongst their five heaviest. All the way from that opening intro into the main riff, it's a lot of low end used in there. Eddie probably put a lot of bass and a lot of upper gain up in his guitar for this song in particular, for sure. So it's cool. It's very, very cool.
We heard from Kevin. He's still awake. He says, one of the things I love about this album is that there are no covers. And is it the only DLR era Van Halen album without a listed instrumental? No, Tora Tora. Was an instrumental leading into Loss of Control. We just covered that one not too long ago, but there's only the one, if I remember correctly, on Women and Children. So, but no covers, a heavier album, and one of the least popular at the time. Like, it took a while to get this thing to platinum. It wasn't until, the Sammy era, everybody kind of went back and bought the back catalog, that Women and Children, you know, kind of inflated its numbers. But I remember reading Noel Mugg's book, and take that with a grain of salt. I understand there's a lot of discrepancies maybe with his recollection, but he was talking about having to grease the wheels with radio a little bit for Women and Children, because they didn't hear a single. And of course, we had And the Cradle Will Rock and Everybody Wants Some, but you know, they didn't really think there was a standout single on that record, so they really had to kind of grease the wheels with radio. And it, you know, kicking and screaming, they kind of dragged that thing to platinum after the first two albums just went through the roof.
You think people did that? You mentioned once Sammy was in the band, people went back and checked out kind of the earlier catalog, and that's what boosted this album to platinum status. You think people did that out of spite? Because,
I think, and maybe even going back to 1984, I think 1984 opened up Van Halen to a whole new audience, and then this 5150 did as well. So people went back and bought the back catalog after those two records, I think.
Fair enough. I always just assume, because you know how diehard the Dave camp is.
Oh yeah, I think they're a minority in the grand scheme of things. They're definitely there and definitely vocal. Like
they're loud.
Guys are just they're crazy for DLR. But I think they're a minority. Like, you know, 1984 sold 10 million records. Like, you don't sell 10 million records just from the diehards, right? You have to cross genres in a way. Country fans on board. You got to get R&B. Fans on board, so
like whatever record, you gotta get everybody on board. Yeah,
when the record goes diamond, you're crossing genres with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we keep going?
Yes, please.
I forgot we're playing a song, and we got an Eddie Van Halen
solo. We got a solo. Come on!
Holy shit! Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Now we talk about Eddie playing a solo to fit the song. Is that a solo that fits the song? In my opinion, absolutely. But I'm listening to Alex bashing the fuck out of that ride cymbal on that second section. Like, man, that guy's just killing it. Fantastic stuff. But not a lot of variance in that solo, Mark. What did you think?
Well, to answer your question, does it fit the song? Yes, it 100% does. He did not go the flashy route. He went, I don't know how you would describe it. He essentially just played a solo that absolutely fits the narrative of the music that they are presenting. Other point, is it just me or is the rhythm section like really, really high up in the mix versus Eddie's solo in this?
Or the solo was a lot lower. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, they're mixed. Usually you get Eddie front and center.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's kind of the part.
Yeah, I don't know if I got as much bass as I did drums and guitar, but yeah, everything was mixed pretty level there. Maybe that, again, producer choice on that one.
Probably so. And it, I think maybe because Eddie plays the solo the way he does. And instead of it being this sort of in your face, flashy solo that we know Eddie does so well and often, Templeman decided, well, since he's not doing that, he's kind of playing a solo that sort of fits the narrative. He doesn't need to be cranked up so high.
Maybe the groove is the star on this one, right? Just let him kind of groove in that middle section.
The groove and the riffs are definitely the star of the song. I will concede to that. But again, I'm just speculating here about Templeman's thoughts on that. I'm no expert. George, how do you feel about it?
That solo is pretty good. You know, it's a simple ascending pattern, and we all agree it works for what it is. And, you know, Eddie has had plenty of time to shine in the song. The fast riff is great. Those licks in the intro, they're fun. And now, you know, that part is kind of Alex's time to shine, and Eddie's playing something that can sort of back that up, and it sounds good without being too distracting.
Right. That's a good, that sums it up pretty nicely, I think.
I love on the lyrics site we're watching or checking out here. It just says in parentheses, ad lib jungle sounds.
Ad lib jungle sounds.
Ad lib jungle sounds.
I'm over here looking at the Google page for the lyrics, and they don't even bother with that. Like, nah, it's like it's inaudible sounds. We're not writing that shit.
Let's enjoy some more ad lib jungle sounds.
Yeah.
The way the line runs up the back of the stockings. I've always liked those kind of high heels, too. No. Don't take them off. Leave them on. Yeah, that's it. A little more to the right.
Right. So what is she doing to him that he said a little more to the right? She's scratching his back?
Yes, she's scratching his back with high heels and stockings on. And I love the fact that this is clearly improv, a little ad-lib thing, because Dave had to stop short when the rest of the band came in with the riff. Yeah. Don't talk right there. Like, he had to wait for the break to come back in with the, like, I like.
And they left it in.
I like the way and they left it in. Like, no, it's brilliant. It's genius. But it's hilarious to me. And I didn't, because until this show, I didn't realize that was all improv. It sounds obvious when you listen to it now, of course, and with hindsight, but I didn't know that. I just assumed Dave had this idea in mind when they went in recording it. So this was just all part of him, but how naive I was.
Yeah, I probably heard the song 100 times and never picked up on that. he was starting to ad-lib something and he stopped because the band kicked in and then he had to pick it up again.
Yeah, so now it's just funny.
Yeah. Love it.
Van Halen loves doing passages like these where Dave's ad-libbing and they sort of just drop it. They drop the guitar out of the mix and it's just the drum. I call it a "you really got me" part because that's probably the song where they're most famous for doing it. And guys, get your mind out of the gutter. She's not doing anything perverted or giving it there. She's not giving Dave a back scratch. She's trying to hang up a painting and he's telling her a little more to the right. And she's wearing high heels because, you know, it's high up. She's got to reach it.
He's just commenting on him like, "Hey, yeah, I always like those high heels." Like,
I love it. And head
who doesn't like a nice pair of heels?
Yeah. If you're a man, though, you can't wear them in Tennessee anymore.
Ugh. Nope. No, you can't. And oh boy. That's another show. If you guys want to tune in to the thoughts on that, we'll make a tier on Patreon. You
coming
can sign
up on
up.
Rantings of a Maniac.
Yeah. Rant, Mark, yeah, we're gonna bring that back. Yeah. I like rant. Oh my god. Oof. That'll be a long episode, let me tell you. Because boy, do I have to rant about this dumbass state.
Well, I tell you, George, Kevin Brown disagrees with it. He says if DLR is breathing, he's being perverted. It's the default setting.
It is.
I got to agree with Kevin on that one. Yeah, I think it is the default setting. Whenever you get your David Lee Roth, the default setting is disgusting pervert.
Not in this song. He's telling you not to get romantic on the subway.
Right. Well, no, he wanted to. The conductor is telling him. Don't
he wanted the turn. Yeah, the conductor's like, "Nah, dude, it ain't happening for you."
All right, let's keep her rocking. I love it. In a song where he's begging for sex at the very end, he goes, "Look, I'll pay you for it. What the fuck?"
So there you go. The moral of this particular song is, look, everybody wants some. Like, yeah, me too. I got to get mine. Yeah. And apparently he just can't get it willingly because, see, I don't know. It seems like he's coming on a little too strong. And it's so much so that even a subway conductor is like, "My dude, stop it."
He just sounded like you just had blue balls, right? Like, fuck, I'll even pay you for it. Like, come on, Jesus.
Maybe that was the original title of the song, Blue Balls. And then maybe Templeman said, can you workshop that title, maybe?
But you know, it's 1980. Dave got even more pathetic. Mikey was doing some cool shit on the bass there on that outro.
Yeah, he was. Love it when Mikey gets to shine, even if it's just for a moment. But you know, we're big proponents of Michael Anthony getting his just due. So good stuff. There you go. There that is. Everybody Wants Some from Women and Children First, a popular song. You've heard it as Corey mentioned, from Better Off Dead, and you know, not to mention things like Joe Dirt, Zombieland. I believe it was featured in Zombieland. Richard Linklater even named one of his recent or more recent movies after the title of it. Is it good? It's a movie. That's what I'll say spiritual about it. But it's called Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, and it's a spiritual sequel to. The name escapes me. I just covered it.
Days Confused. A spiritual sequel to Days Confused. Yeah, I know a lot of people like to think that, but there you go. Anyway, yeah,
I'm just going by what he said. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, see the movie for yourself, I guess, and make that judgment call. I for one did not, or I didn't see that particular, but it I digress. Anyway, so there we go, you guys. We've done it. We've another one in the books, not one we manifested, but
Pretty close.
Yeah, very close, Rack. Kevin Brown was the closest, so I guess he gets credit for it. But now we discuss the most important thing, and that is whether we think this song is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? Did it not live up to the standard that it set back in 1980? Does the song hold up whatsoever? George, you are our guest. You know how this works. Did everybody want some? Would you say that it is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over for you for this one?
As is traditional for the visiting team, you're letting me bat first, and I appreciate that. So here we go. This is a great song. Women and Children First is my favorite Van Halen album, and this song is a strong selection off of that one. And what I love about this song is that every band member has a chance to shine. And we've been talking about this the whole time. Like, Anthony sounds good. Alex sounds good. Eddie's doing some fun stuff in there. And before Dave solicited this woman at the end, he was on fire with those screams. And this is a nice track. It's definitely what dreams are made of for me.
Well said. Well said indeed. There you have it. Corey, not the Sammy track you were hoping for, but a good Dave track, probably. But how do you feel about
The Godfather, the legend? All right, enough of that.
You got to pay me the proper respect. I got to play my theme before I vote.
That's yes, of course. Yeah. I've forgotten. But all right. With all respect, Corey, my co-host of the show, do you think that Everybody Wants Some lives up to the hype after all this time, and it's what dreams are made of, or does the desperation of David Lee Roth just turn you off entirely and the dream is just completely over for you?
I tell you, I'm not real fond of my David Lee Roth begging for sex and just giving up at the end and saying, fuck it, I'll pay you. I don't care. Like, $100 will you suck my dick? Like, that's not David Lee Roth to me, right? But how can you vote down this song, right? Everybody Wants Them is an absolute classic from Van Halen. We had a lot of fun with the lyrics, but the music kicks ass. The production kicks ass. I'm kind of with George. If you kind of remove like 5150 and 1984 from the equation, Women and Children First, definitely in my top favorite Van Halen albums, especially the Dave era albums. I put this above Diver Down. I put this above Fair Warning. I even put it above Van Halen 2, maybe. Boy, that's kind of a close one for me. But I love Women and Children First, and this is an absolute standout from that album. So goofy lyrics aside, and Dave begging for sex, which he should never have to do. I'm sure he's doing it nowadays because, you know, he looks like, you know, an old saddlebag or whatever. But back then, Dave could, you know, get whatever he wanted. But Mark Kammerer, the question now comes down to you. Is this for you what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
It's a no-brainer. This song, as I mentioned earlier, is one of Van Halen's heaviest, I believe. And it's just a straight banger all the way through. No pun intended based on the content of the song. It is, much unlike Dave in this particular track, it is a banger. His character is not, unfortunately. But no, this is one of those songs that I think should be a go-to when you want to think about Van Halen's hard rock catalog. Their the songs, the music that makes them be definitive as Van Halen. You know, it's kind of it makes you, it's heavy, it makes you feel good because it's like those riffs they just don't quit. I dare say it's kind of that party rock atmosphere a little bit on this song that people love. I mean, of course it is. It's what people love about Van Halen, especially if you're a big lover of the Dave era. then I think this one should at least be in your top 10 of good songs. And I'll, yeah, Women and Children First, as I reiterate what both of you said, this song or this album is really like a big standout. And the more we kind of go into it, the more we discuss the tracks on it and kind of remind ourselves, no, this song was on this album. Hey, this song is on this album. It's like, okay, yeah, this album bangs like so much harder than other albums we've discussed. As you say, it's better. I think it absolutely trumps Diver Down. Probably, I don't know that it would necessarily beat Van Halen 2 for me, but I understand I understand the sentiment on that one for you there, Corey. But this is a great album. This is a great track. So there's really not a whole lot else to say about it. I mean, this is just, to me, one of many examples that is quintessential Van Halen. There you go. There it is. A full clean sweep on the panel. It is what dreams are made of. Everybody wants them.
Now we have to play my favorite game. How many times did Van Halen perform Everybody Wants Some? Let's start with you, Mark. We're going to give George a couple of seconds to think about it here. Mark, how many times do you think Van Halen played Everybody Wants Some?
Part of me really wants to say this absurdly large number, but I don't know that Van Halen, this could also be one of those tracks where you would expect them to play it a lot, but they don't. For whatever reason, or maybe they just couldn't find time in the set to sneak it in there. But okay, to hell with it. I'll say they've probably played this song live, according to Setlist FM, 500 times.
500 times. Remember, this is Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over. George, what do you think? How many times did Van Halen perform Everybody Wants Some?
Don't follow the set list too much for Van Halen, so this is going to be a total guess. I don't know. Is this like a super popular song? It's not one of the same five songs they keep playing on my classic rock radio station over and over. So maybe they only played it like 50 times. Let's say that.
You're going to say 50?
Say 50.
I'm going to say 50.
All right, you're a little bit off. Mark Meyer's the winner tonight. Van Halen performed this song 569 times.
Ooh.
So you were 69 off.
You got close.
Nice.
I think you're close enough that you would get both showcases, Mark. That's pretty good. They performed it first March 19th.
You're missing the 69, and you're going to end up having to pay for it, just like Dave at the end of the song.
Fuck, baby. Well, fuck. I'll pay for it.
I'll pay for it.
They even played it October 4th, 2015 at the Hollywood Bowl. So one of their last shows. That might have been actually their last show. They did Everybody Wants Some. So a staple of the David Lee Roth tours.
I mean, I don't see why not. It's a banger. And that's
great song.
If you want to get the crowd really like pumped and motivated, especially you play this song after you play a couple of maybe like not so heavy songs and you're worried that maybe there's a lull in the audience, whatever, you bust into this, they wake up immediately. So yeah, that doesn't shock me whatsoever. Well, awesome.
I think they kind of led this into Panama. So you kind of take that tremble dry beat. Let's try that again. I've had a few whiskeys. That tribal drum beat kind of at the end of Everybody Wants Some right into Panama. Come on, that's great shit right there.
That is. That's a good good transition. So, yeah.
Very smooth. Fair enough. Might even be the same beat or very similar.
Yeah, very close. Yeah.
Probably so. Well, there you have it. We've done it. Another one in the books. Another one down. Big special thank you to everyone in the joined us on the Patreon. We'll talk more about that later. Big thanks to George as well for joining us. George, before we dismiss the show, and just please tell us what you got going on. Where can the people find you? What's going down?
Oh, you know the drill. Just if you're a Judas Priest fan, or maybe even if you're not and you want to hear cool people talking about music, you could check out the Judas Priest cast. And we do the Judas Priest cast semi-regularly, at least one or two episodes a month. And I do that with my co-host Hattie, who's over in Bangladesh. And I love that we're getting two totally different perspectives and such a diverse backgrounds coming together just to talk about this one band and approaching these lyrics from different angles, from our different backgrounds, and at the same time finding things that we agree with and making sense of lyrics together. It's kind of what we do and love. And you guys, if you're, I'm losing my train of thought, it's getting really late. I got nothing else to plug. If you like Judas Priest, listen to my damn show.
The Judas Priest cast, they'll tell you all about why they think A Touch of Evil is the best Judas Priest song, or maybe that's just my opinion. But there you go. Painkiller always. Thank you so much, George, for being on the show again. It's always a fun time having you. Corey, can you please let the people know how to find the show, where they can go to support us, and please fill them in on the Patreon.
Yes, you can find us at www.podcastlerock.com. You can catch up on old episodes, get yourself some merch. We're available on all of the social medias, at least the ones that currently matter. Twitter, for the time being, Facebook, Instagram, run by our one and only Mark Kammeyer. And, of course, on Patreon, search us up there, Podcast Will Rock. Pick a tier that's right for you and help us grow the show. We're having a lot of fun doing it. And after we now have, 48 songs left on the Van Halen wheel, if there's enough interest, we're going to keep going on some solo wheels. That'll be a lot of fun. And I know, George, your co-host, Hattie, she's dying to talk some Mammoth. So we got to get her on the show to talk a little Wolfgang Van Halen. That's going to be a lot of fun.
You can find me. Her Wolfie.
Oh, yes, she does. And that's great. We'll definitely get her on to talk about Wolfie. You can find me at CD Morissette on this show, as well as my other two shows on the Deep Dive Podcast Network, Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where we're trying to compile the ultimate Aerosmith mixtapes. Scott Haskin and John Marion and myself, we got a long way to go on that one. As Mark and I reach the end of the Van Halen catalog, we're still barely into the Aerosmith catalog. So join us on there. Also, John and I do a show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking everything music and movies. I just did a couple of baseball-themed shows, Don't Stop Believing from Moneyball and Wild Thing from Major League. So
yeah, some
cool stuff coming on there. Speaking of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, let's just run down the rest of the shows. We have Scott at Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. He's got another, season or two to go. Then he might be done until Uriah Heep releases another album. So go check out his show there. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at University Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. Some dude named George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, which everybody should go check out. It's a heck of a lot of fun. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. Greg and Jonathan again at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking everything Megadeth. Two of my favorite podcasts of all time. I bust his balls a lot, but Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project, breaking down the entire Tom Petty catalog. I'm a big Tom Petty fan. I love that show so much. And Kevin and his buddy Randy doing Seaside Pod Review, another Queen podcast. They got a wheel. They're spinning it. They're breaking down track by track and having a lot of fun. Quinn at And Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at Rock Roulette Podcast, and Chaz and Greg breaking down the Lulu album from Lou Reed and Metallica at Regarding Lulu. Go check that sucker out. And check out some of our favorite podcasts out there, like the DLR Podcast, the Bogus Doga Show, Booked on Rock, and the Sean Geek and Fast Threat Podcast, Dissect That Film, You're All Doomed, the Friday the 13th podcast. Too many podcasts to name. So much great stuff out there. Go support it all whenever you can.
Woo! Thank you, Corey. All that goodness. Yes, yeah.
That was an excellent plug. No one does good a job as Corey at plugging the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, running down that list of shows, and the cool people who host them. As a network, we're putting out so much content, like as a whole, there's like an episode of something coming out pretty much every day.
That's right.
If there's a band, a rock band of yesteryear or like semi relevancy today, chances are the Deep Dive Podcasting Network has got you covered on that. After, at least do us a favor, do Corey a favor, after he made that huge rundown, go check some of those out and tell him that and the Podcast Will Rock sent you. So there you go. We appreciate that. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Instagram and Twitter. And a brief plug, if I may. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, you guys know I've talked about it before, and I'll say it again. I take part in these musical tribute nights pretty regularly in the Nashville area. Me and a cavalcade of other musicians, we do a lot of things, usually metal related, 80s new wave. We've done all emo, we've done all sorts of stuff. Well, the next show coming up April 22nd, if you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, the legendary venue, the Exit Inn, it is not closing. In fact, it is going to reopen. That's right. New management, same old venue. It's reopening. It's coming back. And we're going to kick off the comeback right with a show dedicated. It's called Pop Rocks. And what that means is it's pop music that has gone the way of rock and metal. So if you ever wondered what, I don't know, Rihanna or Taylor Swift or things like that, like pop stars, you ever wonder what they sound like in metal form? We've got you. We are dedicating the whole night as a metal tribute to the pop songs. You can hear me do an actual Taylor Swift song, and I can't stand Taylor Swift music, but I do love metal. So for me, you get to hear a rendition that ordinarily you'd never hear. So if you want to hear me do a Taylor Swift song, which you'll never hear ever again, be sure to show up at the Exit Inn April 22nd in Nashville, Tennessee for the Pop Rock show. Me, myself, my wonderful lady, and just like I say, a cavalcade of Nashville's best musicians putting on this show together. $20, 18 and up. It's going to be a fun show April 22nd, and I'll discuss that more later as the sooner we get to the show. But it's all for charity, so do what you can. Support. Make sure it's for a good cause. That's the only reason why I would ever get on stage and do a Taylor Swift song. So on behalf of Corey and our guest, George, and all of you out there, our lovely patrons, thank you so much for being part of this. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.